Hi, this is Donnie Nelson, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
I like that. Yeah, it's the Mavericks, all up by action. Don't do no acting, no Samuel Jackson. Dirk at the ball, you know that it's magic. Post move deadly, yeah, get tragic. Luke with the ball, yeah, get nasty. He'll drop 30, don't gotta ask him.
Luka with the step back 30. Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! There's a three-pointer, yes, sir. Taking the three after the pump bag, and it's money for Porzingis.
Now you got my boy Chris Stapps, looking like Duncan Nash in the gap. They just want to ring, want to fill the gap. On your team head, ain't tuck our heads. Dang, go relax, still at a champ. Defense still coming with the Galabas flow.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm normally joined by my co-host, Matt Galatson, but he could not be with me tonight. But instead, I have the editor-in-chief over at Mavs Moneyball. He's a good friend of ours, good friend of the pod. Kirk Henderson. Kirk, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I told myself before the game that I would have one drink for every rebound Nate Hinton got, and I'm regretting my decision.
That seemed like a losing choice from the get-go, because that guy, he can get after some rebounds. Now, I was very impressed with him, but yeah, the Mavs, their first preseason game, it's the first game in over 100 days we've seen them on the court. They played in Milwaukee. They won 112-102. And, I mean, you know, preseason is preseason. But it was really exciting because not only have we just not seen the Mavs play in so long, but, you know, they have a lot of new people, too, that we were interested in seeing. So I have some takes, but I want to ask you first, who were you most impressed with tonight?
Oh, God. Okay. So I'm not Matt level grumpy, but I'm like a solid B plus to his A. And I was psyched about that game. So it's really kind of hard for me to pick, but I'm going to throw this out there because I just threw it out on my own podcast. Josh Green gives me extreme Josh Howard vibes, and I cannot wait to see him play with actual, you know, with like Luka and maybe in a different capacity. He was fun.
Yeah, Josh Green, and I mean, we knew coming into this that he had a high motor and he was going to be one of those guys that, you know, gives 110% all game long. It was great to actually see that with him wearing a Mavs uniform because, and I think I saw Josh Bow, he pointed this out during the game too, but he just does not stop moving on offense. And yep, that's going to lead to a ton of easy baskets for him. He's good on the defensive end. Tyrell Terry, he kind of struggled, and he's, you know, he's pretty tiny. So he's
got charged though.
He did, yeah, and the bench got hyped for that too. He took a charge, and I was kind of worried about him for a second. But he did good, but yeah. So I mean, overall, it was a great game. I'm also extremely excited about Josh Green. I thought that went about as well as it could have for a debut, at least from an overall, you know, activity standpoint. He was only 2 of 7 from the field, but yeah, Luka, he had 13 points. He looks like, and I mean, we've talked about this too, it looks like he's a little bit, you know, out of shape, but his 3-point shot looks really good. And
well, I mean, that was huge because the first quarter he looked like a used car salesman, you know, showing up to play a game of pickup. And then in the second quarter, he was just like, oh, yes, I'm really good at basketball. And just started doing a lot of, like, I'm Luka Doncic crap. And it was to the point to where I was kind of giggling because the passes, the thing that I will circle back to with Luka for years is that in his rookie year, his passes were not particularly on point. The location area was good, but he wasn't always putting it in places for shooters to, like, really do stuff with it. And watching his passes to Josh Richardson tonight had me kind of, like, giggling. Yeah. We should be pumped about that backcourt.
Yes, yeah, and Josh Richardson, he's another guy. You know, both Joshes got everybody pretty excited tonight because, yeah, you lost Seth Curry, and he's an elite shooter, but, you know, Josh Richardson, he's going to be from – I mean, you don't want to overreact to a preseason game.
I do. Hell with that. This is fun.
I get why some people don't want to, but if you just look at how guys are moving around, and, you know, Josh Richardson has never been with this team before, and he already looks like a seamless fit like everybody thought he would be on both ends of the court. So,
yeah.
I'm super excited about that. He was three of four from three. Maxi Kleba, it was good to see him hit some shots. Last time we saw him was in the playoffs, and he stunk it up, and he was 3 of 5 from three in this game and also had 13 points. So I'm really excited about this bench mob, Kurt, because the team overall just has so much more depth than it did last year. And it's something that I was just, you know, even when the third stringers were playing tonight, it's something that I brought up in our group chat, but it just feels so great to have a full roster of real players, like guys that if in a pinch, you can throw them in there and they could potentially make a difference. So I'm very excited about that. You know, Tyler Bay, he looked really good in his limited play. Wes Iwundu, a guy Matt and I interviewed recently, he looked really good. I'm astounded at his wingspan.
Yeah. him and Bay could just, like, reach across the court together.
It's just arms for days. I mean, I mean, there's so much wing defense. Rick Carlisle after the game and before the game, really, he said that was the – you know, the main thing they wanted to improve on was perimeter defense, and he thought that they did a good job in this game tonight. So, overall, really good first preseason game. I think it's got everybody excited for the next one. But this next topic here, it's a little bit off of, you know, the game itself, but what did you think about the league scheduling these first two preseason games between the Mavs and the Bucks, given all the Giannis rumors?
Well, I think in preseason, teams actually have a little bit of say in this, and the fact that they're both back to back is probably to limit travel, to limit opportunities for you know, guys to catch COVID or anything like that. But it did really make me laugh because the Bucks just. The Mavericks look like they're having a lot more fun.
Right.
and you know, I'm not Giannis. Giannis probably paid no attention to that. But I'm going to think about that as a fan, that the Mavericks went into Milwaukee and looked like they had fun in front of the MVP who hasn't signed his Supermax. So that's something that's going to stick in my brain.
Giannis didn't – I mean, you can't overreact to all this, but you can and you can have fun. Giannis didn't look like he was having the best time over on the bench watching the Mavs have as much fun as they were. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see how this next game goes. But I really like the energy that I felt from this Mavs team. And it does seem like a better situation going forward, you know, overall picture than what the Bucks have, you know, currently going for them. Now, again, the Bucks. They've been the best team in the East for the last 2 years in the regular season. So, I mean, they could potentially do that again this year too. But I think from a flexibility standpoint, from an overall talent point, that, you know, the Mavs have a little bit more potential there.
I think so. It's just that the West is more brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just a coincidence that they put these two games, you know, Luka versus Giannis to start everything out. But, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me deep down wants me to think like, well, maybe they'll get in Giannis's ear a little bit. Because if this team can look as good as it did tonight heading into the regular season, then – I think you can have those conversations, you know, if we get closer to midseason and KP's still not back, but he's getting close to being back. It's like, hey, well, depending on how the Bucks are doing, and if Giannis is saying, well, I'm not going to re-sign with you guys this offseason, then maybe you start having those conversations of like, well, do we trade KP for Giannis? So, I don't know. I don't even know if the Bucks do that, but, I mean, it's hard for me to envision a better trade package for the Bucks as far as, like, how young a guy is and how much potential he still has if he can stay healthy, and that's a big if. But I would love to see it. Okay, Kirk, last thing we're going to talk about – and we've talked about it a little bit, and I saw you tweeting about it a little bit tonight too, but the Mavs, their starting lineup tonight was Luka, Josh Richardson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dorian Finney-Smith, and Dwight Powell. And kudos to Dwight Powell for making it all the way back from his Achilles injury. But the Mavs gave up, I think, 30 points in the paint in the first half. And that was mainly because they had Dwight Powell guarding Giannis. And then they put the second unit in to start the second half, and you had Willie Cauley-Stein at the five. And all of a sudden, you know, the points in the paint numbers, they weren't as outrageous as they as they were in that first half. So my question to you is, you know, should they start Willie Cauley-Stein in this next game instead of Powell and just see how it goes?
I mean, should they? Yes. Will they? No. There is something that we – I mean, you know, you and Fish are more likely to understand it than me. But there's something with Powell that is hard to put a finger on as to why it matters that he gets the minutes and the time that he does. He seems to be not only, like, kind of an intellectual leader, an emotional leader. Team, you know, the team seems to really rally around him as a focus. I just don't know. You know, he looked like Dwight Powell tonight. That's the plus thing. The thing that I'll walk is he looked like Dwight Powell. The thing that I keep coming back to is that he looked like Dwight Powell, which is to say that when he went down, the Mavericks offense took off. I do think he adds an element to things, but I don't know if it's worth watching him start depending on what the matchups are. He cannot defend. He has never been able to defend. There was a move. Drew Holiday got him in, on a switch and did a little like dipsy do drive right and then took a hot dribble left and ended up in the lane. And Dwight was like 6 feet away. It was bad. And, you know, that was the first time I thought he didn't really, like, he looked like a guy who had had an Achilles tear. But then I was like, well, would that have mattered if he had torn his Achilles? Dwight couldn't defend that to begin with. And that's not a knock on Dwight. It's just sort of, it is who he is, and there's something going on there in terms of what the Mavericks see and what they need. There's like a timing element with their pick and roll that's very important. So things are obviously, you know, there's things going on that I don't understand to where they think they need to start him. Cauley-Stein, if Cauley will play that hard, I think he'll earn himself more minutes. He did take a couple of absolutely stupid shots in the sense of it was like watching his bad YouTube videos from the summer where it's like he's playing at, you know, whatever high school he's at and beating up on poor schmucks who don't have a chance. He is incredibly athletically gifted, and he's a good basketball player capable of doing more. But the Mavericks don't want him shooting off the dribble 15-footers. And I just don't know if Rick will be able to tolerate that long term. I don't know. I wouldn't mind it, though. I mean, what's the harm? What are we looking at? If he plays well, if he guards Giannis in the sense of he's not like a saloon door, you know, what's the worst that can happen, right?
Well, and I mean, look, you're right. He took a couple of bad shots, and he was 2 of 4. So the two shots he made, you know, they were good shots. The two he didn't, they were really bad. But, you know, I just think the presence he brings on the defensive end, he's a shot-blocking threat. Like you said, he's super athletic. He's long. If the more guys you can put with Luka like that in the starting lineup, I think the more you're going to get out of everybody. And I just want to see it. I just want to see it once. I know it's probably not going to happen, but I just want to see them start Cauley-Stein with that same group, you know, Luka, Richardson, THJ, Finney-Smith, and then have Willie Cauley-Stein at the five and just see what happens. Because, yeah. I mean, you saw, when you see Willie Cauley-Stein running a pick and roll with rookie Josh Green to perfection, I'm thinking in my head, like, what if this dude got more minutes with Luka in the starting lineup? So that's where my head's at. So I think overall, just a great night of basketball. I needed it. You know, it's been gone too long, and it's back now, and we're going to have another game. I don't know when that next game is. Is it Monday?
Yes, Monday. So, like, 36 hours from now.
Nice. Okay, so we're going to do this all again with the Mavs and Bucks on Monday, and next thing you know, we'll be at opening night versus the Suns on the 23rd and then playing the Lakers on Christmas. So it's coming fast, Kirk.
Yep.
But that's going to do it for another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast, y'all. We really appreciate it. Y'all coming in and listening every single week. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel, too. We got some fun stuff coming there as well. But, Kirk, we really appreciate it, man. Thanks for dropping in and talking with me a little bit.
Sure thing.
We'll see you later, man.
Take a step back, reminiscing about the old days when I hooped outside with my friends and drunk that OJ. Crossover doing step backs in a pair of J's. These days I'm about my chips like a bag of Lay's. I ain't lying when I tell you people.